Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Brennan. Go by SEC Mike on Twitters. And there's the early bird, Cousin Shade, everybody's favorite cousin. What's up, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Sounds like we may have to kick this thing to about 3 o'clock so you can get to bed by 4.
You know, it's so funny. I remember a meme that was posted. It says, all them old-timers talking about being up at 5 in the morning, and then it shows a picture of him asleep at 8 p.m. Oh, man. How you been? Good day?
Talk
about it?
As always, Shane, don't forget, this football season, we're brought to you by MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. That's the website. Head on over there. What is going on over there?
Oh,
I thought you had a mouse over there. If Shane does not have a mouse, keep him that way. Keep him mouse-free by signing up over at mybookie.ag. Don't forget that promo code SEC, Shane, to get 100% instant deposit match over at MyBookie. And we also got another great sponsor, Shane.
Yeah. There they are.
Yeah, Tennessee legend. What's up, brother?
Hey, man, I'll tell you what, if you get a chance to check these guys out, I said it this morning, I'll keep saying it, go in there, check it out. If you're coming to the Smoky Mountains, if you're in Nashville, Tennessee, these guys are fantastic. I love the samplings. That's my favorite part. It's just going in there. Of course, sometimes I get a little buzz, but have a designated driver. Drink responsibly, of course, but have some fun in there. And if you mention the cousins at Tennessee Legend Distillery, you will get not only additional discount, but a surprise gift. So if you're out of town, just tell your local distiller, say, hey, or your local package shop, say, you need some of this in your facilities, and they will order it, and you can have it shipped to you.
Hell yeah, brother. But, you know, you were asking what's going on.
Yeah.
This is a terrible time, Shane.
Terrible.
For injury news.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I know.
We had an injury, and it was just complete nonsense, but you still got to check it. You got to track it down.
Yeah.
And buddy, so I already saw Matt in the comments. He's already upset. He's like, his title is misleading. I just want to get it out there. Garrett Nussmeier, 100% fine.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if 100%, but I don't think he's injured at all. He did have to leave the practice field, and then people ran with it. He's tore his ACL. He's out for the year. That was 100% bullshit. He's fine. He's not injured. But, man, that's what I'm saying. Like, these things happen. Rumors start, and then it takes hours to kind of get the real story. You know what?
I know. And it sucks because you think about a couple of programs that, like, this is make or break seasons, LSU being one of them. This is an injury you couldn't afford. So that's why the panic was at an all-time high down there in Baton Rouge. But let me ask you this, Mike, because it's easy to say we worry about our quarterback's health. But is there another handful of players that you think about? Yeah, kind of like that Heisman talk. If something were to happen, is there somebody or a couple of those dudes that you're looking at saying, if something happens here, this is a big part of this football team? Is there, does that make sense what I'm trying to say? Because
yeah,
you can say,
how about, let's frame it this way.
Yeah.
Most valuable.
Instead of somebody getting hurt.
If we lose them, we're devastated. Let's not do that. Well, now you're saying not quarterback. Because number one, I was going to say Lenore Sellers.
Yeah. Non-quarterback.
I think with him, the playoff projections for the Gamecocks are legit. And, man, we don't do this a lot of times, Shane. I'm going to tease an interview.
Yeah.
We got an interview coming out. I'm going to put it out tomorrow. I've already recorded it, got to edit it and post it. But there's a South Carolina college football playoff prediction coming up. And this is not a South Carolina homer either. So I'm just throwing that out there. But, okay, non-quarterbacks. Now you've really done it, buddy, because now I got to sit here and think about it. Non-quarterbacks that are paramount to a team's success. Well, can I say running back then?
Yeah. You kind of pivot there or wide receiver, but you could also say like an elite defensive player, you know, I think could be a big part of it as well. Or an offensive lineman. You know, right. We had a scare down in Texas with an offensive lineman being hurt. Obviously not in that starting five, but could have been. And you lose a left tackle. Look at Georgia last year in the college football playoffs.
Right. Well, how about this one, Shane? Shout out Le'Veon Moss. A&M's all their whole operation seemed to be off when they didn't have their outstanding running back Le'Veon Moss. I projected him ahead to be by the end of the season the number one running back in the SEC. That's and I'm not, you know, I shouldn't say that and then sit here and critique him, because this isn't a critique, but that is more, I think, about how the offensive line's back,
yeah,
and they're elite, and the way Texas A&M is going to try to be run first, potentially. Of course, now they got all these weapons. Maybe they're not, Shane. But Le'Veon Moss, just for the fact that we saw what they were last year without him, that's the first name that kind of comes to mind that's a non-quarterback, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Rick mentioned a good one here. Dylan Stewart there in South Carolina.
How about Ryan Williams, Alabama? Receiver. Yeah. If he is missing for any reason, That could be huge to Alabama, no doubt. Any others come to mind?
I'm trying to think right now. I think Ball, Hardy. These are a couple of guys that will be the focal piece of this football team. So those are a couple that really, in my opinion, kind of stand out.
Well, you know who's standing out to me, Shane?
Who's that?
Steven up.
Hey, there he is.
Let me find his little jiggle.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide. Hell yeah.
Appreciate you, Steven. I didn't want to go much further without catching that, but it was so long ago, I don't even know who he donated to. But we appreciate you, Steven up. I'm trying to look it up now.
Oh, I guess I could do something productive while you're working.
Yeah. Damn it, I can't find
I'm over here checking on my DoorDash, you know.
Somebody let me know in the comments who got it. But we also got, man, so many donations gifted, Shane. Glenn Warsaw, he gifted a donation.
Man. Thanks, man.
I'm trying to. It won't tell me who Glenn donated to either. Give us the names, people. Gunner gifted a membership. Horton Hears You gifted a membership.
Yeah.
Liquid.
Well, apparently Horton couldn't hear you, so he's gifting you a membership.
I've got Horton gave R1 Gamertus 409. So R1
welcome to the family. How about we got Liquid donated one?
Yeah, Liquid sent one to Josh Rockley, South Carolina fan. Welcome to the family.
And then
as soon as we start talking national championships, South Carolina guys start showing up. And then cousin JR the legend sent Chad. Well, no, that's just a cool name. Chad Big Chad is already a member. Edward Rand. Edward, welcome to the family.
Memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Yeah.
These damn names. I love it. You got to be careful. They try to get you, you know. I start reading some of these, I'm like, can I say that out loud? So, no, they got some good names in here. Cousins are fired up. I think I've seen a lot of comments, Mike. A lot of people excited about the next Netflix series. I was up all night. I started it. I was already one in because we watched the LSU at the SEC Media Days. Uh-huh. And then so I had like five, six to catch up. After the show, I binge watched it, man. And I tell you what, if it doesn't make you want to run through a damn brick wall, nothing will. I think that's what ultimately fired up this fan base. And Mike, you were fantastic. I thought you'd be like in one or two scenes, like, you know, like distant, you know, but they made you a focal piece, and rightfully so, man. You did great. Great job, man.
Well, I appreciate it, Shane. I quite honestly, I haven't seen it. I saw the first one, but here's what I'm getting. I'm getting, you know, I appreciate all the kind words.
Yeah.
But I'm just getting DMs and emails about shout out Razor Bass. He sent us this one. He's like, everyone ever told you you look like Gardner Minshew? I've heard one of the Kardashians' husband. Someone, I'm gonna shout this guy out because it was kind of funny that he DM'd me this, Shane.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Now I can't find his name. But, oh, yeah, here we go. Zacho. He said, hey, I think you won't get too offended by this comment. But he said, my wife says you look like, his name's Scott Disick.
Yeah.
You look like a fat Scott Disick. So
no offense.
So those are the comments that I'm getting.
But you look like this guy, but just like a really fat version of it.
So, yeah, it is what it is. You know what?
Yeah, I was in there a couple. I got a couple of people type saying, I heard you in there. I made the Billy Napier stick it around to boo him instead of fight the traffic. You
know? Hell yeah. No, I can't wait to watch it.
Oh, yeah, it's good, man. But I appreciate the cousins and the shout out. So, but sorry to mean it. Didn't mean to take you off track there.
No, it's all good. And shout out Cousin Thorin. Shane, he gave us $5, took the summer off. Now I'm back. 11 months as a member, but had a good summer. Now I'm ready for UK to ruin my Saturday this fall. Man.
And they did him bad, you know, and I know we keep talking about the show, but I just watched it. But I would imagine that Kentucky had a lot of tape that they just couldn't use because the season was so bad last year. You know, it was almost like, they threw it in at the very end and said, oh, by the way, we had two people drafted. You know, that was like because during this Netflix show, they did a great job of kind of highlighting the highs and lows. And it was just lows for Kentucky fans. So I appreciate Cousins showing up. But I will say this optimistically, I am coming around on these Wildcats. I'm starting to like the over more and more from the stuff that I'm hearing at camp, from the people that actually are there. I'm not saying that we should be that we're sleeping on Kentucky, but I do think 4.5 is very low, and so I'm expecting a bigger bounce back from them Wildcats now that I'm talking to these cats.
Well, yeah, because Torin gave us a donation, that's why I threw up the schedule here. You know, where's how do we swing this to be a maybe not a playoff bound or anything like that, but where somewhere where maybe Kentucky could strike, maybe it's Ole Miss again. Maybe it's, I know that we're just pumping them up saying Carolina to the playoff, but hell, it seems like every year, whoever is going into the Kentucky South Carolina game is like the presumed favorite. They usually lose it. I mean, I don't know what the hell's up with that game. Is there a game you think they could steal? And again, I'm not saying like make the playoff, but maybe like, turn around negativity this early to turn it into a positive here.
Yeah, there's a stretch, man. And you know, everybody has a tough schedule in the SEC. Kentucky's no different. But I do like how it eases up just a little bit after that Georgia-Texas matchup.
Yeah.
Okay. And look at Tennessee Vols. And again, you know me, I'm a diehard Vol fan. But I just think that it's a sneaky game for the Volunteers, but it could be, you may be catching teams at the right time. An Auburn. What is Hugh Freeze November 1st?
Fired.
What is Billy Napier November 8th?
Fired.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So there is an opportunity similar to what we saw with Florida last year, that there's a team that kind of gains that momentum toward the tail end of the season. Kentucky could be one of those.
Well, I got one that I know will be, Shane.
Who's that?
Thanks to Cousin Rick. $20, Tommy Moffitt, strength and conditioning results already showing up, Shane. Crazy impact on strength and speed across the board. Moss, Owens, Chappelle, Naboo, all NFL bound. Back after missing last season. We're A&M, I know you're down on them, which is great for Cousin Rick. Cousin Rick is, that's probably why he's throwing us a donation, because you're down on A&M. But what concerns you the most that you're wrong about A&M? I know that's a weird way to ask that question, but maybe something you're wrong about that'll the Aggies will prove you wrong, if that makes sense.
You mean Texas 8-4, as SEC Mike said? what I may be wrong is about that second year bump. We see this with a lot of coordinators. We see this with certain head coaches. There's just a natural step forward when you have a little continuity, when you have a little more competitive depth. And, you know, he mentions Moffitt. The problem Texas A&M really ran into last season was staying healthy, was being deeper. And I feel like that's one of the things that I saw Elko address, especially in that transfer portal, is getting dudes in here that can contribute immediately. So maybe I'm just not giving this roster enough credit because it doesn't have the big flashy names that maybe their neighbors do down the street.
Right. And I mean, ultimately, that's what you want the portal to be, right? I don't think you want to be getting, I know Ole Miss has done it, so maybe I'm wrong here, but I don't think you want to be bringing in 20 to 30 guys a year and that being like the foundation of your program. I think you want to, you know, ideally get 5 to 10 plug-and-play players, you know, like where you got holes in your roster. That's where you want to bring transfers in. And I feel like that's what Texas A&M really did this offseason.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
Good. I like when you agree with me.
You make a good point. Sorry, my dog, I don't know if you can hear it, is like literally going crazy in the next room, and I'm looking for a little assistance. Like, just put that bastard down. No, just kidding. I love the dog to death.
Hey, one thing I did want to ask you real quick about the Netflix, because I did see the first episode, like I said, with you down there at Media Days, and I kind of forgot about this, but I saw people talking about it. Did you see old Brian Kelly at the practice field? He had on an LSU college football playoff shirt.
Ooh.
Should he even be allowed to wear that? I mean, he had taken LSU to the damn playoff. You know what I mean? Like, you got to earn that, I feel like.
That reminds me when I had that Tennessee track shirt, you know? Just because they make it in your size doesn't mean you should wear it. No, I like this. Own it. This is the last dance for Coach Kelly. He said it last year. I mean, he's been doubling down, saying this is the season. This is the time we've been waiting on.
So you may be confused, and I'm sorry if it's confusing, but so this was prior to last season.
Oh.
So it wasn't the last season.
Oh, yeah. There's no positive spin for that one. But his tackle, was it last year? I mean, his tackle did come out here and say, you know, we were supposed to win championship. Now, I can't defend last year. Okay. I can't say this year it makes more sense because of some of the comments he made. And it's almost one of those things like you got to speak it to existence. So,
right. That's almost as bad as him coming out with like Coach O national championship, Nick Saban, and he'd be like, you can win here. And they're like, how many did you win, Coach? He'd be like, well, I haven't even been to playoff. You know what?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
You know what else is a good point, Shane?
What's that?
Colin the Coxman. He just donated.
Oh, Cox.
Shout out, Michael or Colin. He just gifted Shane Tyler Null. Tyler, welcome
to the family.
And another thing, Shane, that I think you'll be fired up to discuss. That
I'll be the judge of that.
Well, because I saw you tweet about it, so I already know.
Yeah, maybe.
But the commissioner, NFL commissioner, said we may be getting a college red zone channel. Mm-hmm. So anybody that missed it, I don't know the specifics, but ESPN apparently bought the red zone from NFL.
Yeah.
So
yes,
and Roger Goodell said they may utilize it for college football. I don't know if he's talking about it immediately. I don't know if he's talking about, quite honestly, he didn't give a ton of specifics, but he just said that could be coming. Is that something you'd be on board with?
Yes.
And who should host it?
Oh, that's a good question, because I do think that this is a great tool, because one of my favorite things about watching college football is like YouTube, where they let you do the four boxes, you know,
right,
so you can kind of watch different games. But it would help if, you know, you had a kind of a red zone if you're looking for more of a national perspective. So I think it would be great. I do like it because he mentioned other sports. Outside of football, I think it could be really good for like basketball when we got several games going on at the same time. But if one's getting kind of crunch or one's, you can kind of push one toward the front. So I don't hate the idea. In fact, I wondered why ESPN bought it. If if they can make more money off of it, they're definitely going to get into more sports. Now, who should host it? That's the question. That's a $1 million question. And that's a tough one because you want someone that is not biased. You want somebody that's not annoying because you're going to be listening to them for 18 hours, you know. So I'd probably have to give that one some thought. But do you have any immediate candidates?
Man with the Plan's got a great suggestion, Josh Pate or Cole Kublick.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't know. I mean, they got so many irons in the fire. You know what I'm saying?
How about Cousin Joseph says Length and Girth should host it?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I'm extremely biased, especially if they switch over to a Big Ten game. I'd be like, get this shit off my screen.
Well, I know who Steven would nominate, probably Arch Manning. Is there anything he can't do? He could play in the games and host it.
Still getting Texas plugs. I can't believe it. No, there's a lot of good ones. And that's why I like Scott, is because he's just cool, calm, and collective. But he pumps you up, man. There was nothing better. And I've kind of stepped away from fantasy football because I got too addicted. I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning, see if anybody's free in the free agent. I said, I've got a problem. So I kind of stepped away for a couple seasons, but there was nothing better than the countdown to red zone, that thing kicking off, and it's game on. I can only imagine it would be as exciting watching a college football version.
Hey, how about Jerry Picklenip says, my vote, Cousin Shane.
I'm in.
Would you do it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I talk about how tough the job is, but I would take it. Sorry, Mike, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
No, it says, no, but there's Cousin Shane's security guard.
Yeah. I'd work for cheap, you know. So.
Yeah. I hope old Cody isn't. I'm trying to see, is that M-I-Z? I believe it is. M-I-Z, Cody, just became a member of the channel. Welcome Cody.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah, I was just hoping he wasn't a Texas fan after we just bashed old Arch.
Boy, they got that was a hot one, talking about Mizzou winning the ACC. I'm also getting tagged in a lot of Hardy clips. A lot of people they're telling me, this is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. All right, again, I'm not there. I haven't seen the guy. But I'm being told that he is the best athlete on that football field, that he single-handedly is going to take Mizzou places because he's so good. So take it for what it's worth. But I will say there's a lot of pumped-up Tiger fans out there because of what they got there in the backfield.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, Shane, because I do have a quick Ahmad Hardy clip.
Oh.
This is Ahmad Hardy asked about his offensive line. I just thought this was pretty funny.
Well, coming from the SBC, everybody's bigger than all my O-line at my old school. So they pretty big and fast. So big guys, fast guys, and they mentality, physical. So, yeah.
They're a lot bigger than the offensive linemen or down in the SWAC. You know what?
That's what they say when they see me and Mike for the first time. They're like, hey, a lot bigger than I thought they were.
All right. Hey, what other two other things, man? Man, tough one. I know you've kind of been hitting this in the mornings with your injury news and notes here, but I don't believe that you got this one because this just came out today. Unfortunately for them, Florida Gators, Shane, 5-star freshman, Dallas Wilson,
all that, yeah,
injured. Now, it doesn't sound bad. It sounds like he could be back. They're saying lower leg injury, out for a couple of weeks. Don't have a specific timeline, but there is optimism that he could be back as soon as the season opener against the Sharks there on August 30th. But the problem with that, Shane, again, this is a true freshman.
Yeah.
That had 10 catches, nearly 200 yards, 2 touchdowns in the spring game. But, you know, maybe he's just such a freak athlete. He doesn't need to practice. But
yeah,
it's kind of hard for me to believe in the SEC a true freshman doesn't need training camp. So, you know, the momentum he could have had maybe got derailed. Hopefully, I hope I'm wrong about that. But that's just kind of the way I see it. And Florida just cannot, you know, escape this injury bug. Trey Webb, their running back, he also had surgery. Yeah. This week, that is another one where recovery and return is unclear, but they do got ball, of course, but Trey Webb supposed to be, you know, a key contributor this year.
Yeah, and it's you post it, and then everybody's like, "Ah, he's the third guy. He's the third guy," you know. But he was still going to see the football field, and that's the main point here. It's when you look at the successful programs last year, year prior, the year before that, it wasn't so much who your ones were; it was who your team was. A lot of these competitive depth players. Those contributing factors are the main reason that you have success later in the season. So when we're talking, and I'm not saying Florida Gators are going to the playoffs or anything like that, but when you're talking 12, 13, 14, 15 football games, man, these guys matter. And that's something I hate to hear. I do like that Dallas is coming back. You know, he was obviously one that shined in the spring game, but we thought we were going to have some. I saw a couple of hot reels from him. Looking forward to seeing him on the football field. He'll definitely be back for the Tennessee game because they always come back for the Tennessee game.
Hey, one more before I'm going to hit you with today's show topic, Shane. Yeah. Hugh Freeze, I don't have a clip because it wasn't really worth playing, but Hugh Freeze says, Shane, everywhere I've been, I've won. And what have I won with? Receivers. Every time I've won 10 games, the receivers have been critical, receivers that can win one-on-one. And he says, I got the receivers that can win one-on-one and can win 10 games here. So is that enough to give you enough confidence, Shane, that Auburn's going to be this breakout team? I know you're high on them. Do you think he's right?
I don't believe anything this man says. Oh,
no, you're starting to sound like me.
I know, but... Again, I hate to go back to the Netflix show, but I will. When he was in there crying about these seniors aren't going to be able to see, I was like, shut up, man. You know, why are you crying? He says the right things. Coaches, I mean, they're salesmen, and that's what they're trying to do with us. They're trying to sell us that this is going to be a successful program, but it doesn't matter. Nobody that is a fan of Auburn gives a shit what this man says. What they care is what is done on the football field. The decisions that are made from this man potentially getting them wins as opposed to losses. That's all it is. It's about now talking season's over, Hugh. Let's win some football games.
Shane, if you had to guess, and I'm not trying to trick you or anything, which coach? I've heard there's only one coach that cussed out the Netflix crew and kicked them out of the building a time or two, or at least the room. Who do you think that coach is?
God, I hope it's not Hugh Freeze, because we just talked about this young spiritual man.
It's Hugh Freeze. Oh, come on, of course it's Hugh Freeze.
Jeez. Golly. He's in the comment section now. Whoever's negative in the cousins over here, that's Hugh Freeze's burner.
All right, so hey, this is what I wanted to hit you with, Shane, so we could try to hit on all 16, or we will hit on all 16 teams.
Yeah.
And I just thought this was interesting. I've seen kind of fans be talking about this stuff, but what will define success for each and every team? And yeah, for some of these teams, it's a little bit easier, but others, not so easy, Shane. Stephen Up gave us our first donation, so let's kick off here with Alabama. So what I'm asking you, Shane, what defines success for Alabama? And it could be, you know, you don't have to put a number on it. It could be anything. Just for example, I think Alabama, I don't even know. Well, I guess because they didn't do it last year. I think reaching the college football playoff, more often than not, that's not good enough for Alabama. You need to go a little bit further.
Yeah.
But I think year two, Kalen DeBoer, if they make the playoff, I think that's a success for Alabama. What defines success for you for Alabama this year?
Well, first off, P5, I appreciate you. Your success. Thank you for that. Be sure to let us know what team you are, and we'll do yours next. I think success for Alabama is being back in the mix. And by that, I mean this is a college football playoff program. This is something that old Nick Saban worked so damn hard to make these guys the best in the country. And football is so volatile, man. It really is. Sometimes you're in, you don't realize you're in the moment till you're out of the moment. And Alabama, we're used to that success, but they could quickly fall off, man. They could quickly disappear for a 4 or 5 year stretch and Bama fans going absolutely nuts. So success for me, Mike, is in the playoffs, getting them back where they're supposed to be. This is title town. And if you do that, then I think you don't have to win the thing. I know they want to, but Alabama should always be in playoff contention each and every season until until I decide others.
Exactly. All right. How about Glenn Warsaw? He's an Oklahoma fan. Shane, he gifted us the second gift of the episode. So let's do Oklahoma.
Yeah.
How do you define success for Oklahoma? You could put a number on it. Again, you don't have to. Does anything strike you as what would be a success for Oklahoma this season?
Yeah, I think it's, for me, Mike, it's rivalries for Oklahoma. Not so much. Go with me here. I'm looking at Texas. I'm looking at some maybe potential rivalries that are going to be firing up with Ole Miss and Auburn. But for me, it's that Red River. I mean, that game was so embarrassing. The build up for me, because everybody outside of Iron Bowl lovers told me this is the best rivalry in the country. And then the first time I really sat down and appreciated it, it was a blowout and it was not fun. So for me, success is winning some of these coin toss games, but potentially making this rivalry game great, you know, making it come down the wire, potentially winning the damn thing. I think that's success, because if you beat Texas, brother, this is an 8-9 win team, easy. So, but you stumble out of the gates, brother. This may be another tough year for them Oklahoma Sooners.
Now, what? I don't disagree with anything you just said. But what if they were to go like 9-3 and lose to Texas? I feel like that's a good year. I would take that. I would think.
Let me reword this. For me, the losses don't need to be blowouts. How about
right,
that?
Right, right. Like, I like that.
And I'm not saying play close, but I feel like Oklahoma is one of those teams that should be in every single football game. It shouldn't be settled before the second half starts. And we saw that with the South Carolina game. We saw that with the Texas game. Even Tennessee, it just didn't feel like they belonged on the same football field at times. You know, don't do that. You stay in every football game. You're going into that fourth quarter with a chance to win. Then that's the progress, because we all know that Oklahoma has a daunting schedule. We're not expecting you to win the playoffs. But at the end of the year, Brent's going to be one of the coaches that are going to be judged the most based on the success or lack thereof they've had this season.
Right, and I think they're one of the few, Shane. If they do win, go 9-3, they could make the playoff at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it goes back to what you said. Are there any blowouts? You know, who are the three losses against? What are the major wins? Mm-hmm. So I'm certainly not saying it's a lock that they'd get in, but I think they would be in heavy, heavy consideration to make the playoff at 9-3. So that's how I define success for Oklahoma. Win 9 or more games.
Yeah.
Or beat Texas. So I'm kind of serious. 8-4, beat Texas. That's a win. You know what?
Shout out to Cousin Emily. $5 if we don't have to talk about Freeze again this episode.
All right. So let's do Auburn for her then.
And then after that one, if you don't mind, P5, he's a Mizzou fan. So we'll do Mizzou after that.
Okay. So don't mention coach here. But what is success for them Auburn Tigers?
Oh, what is success for them Auburn Tigers? And it's not making a bowl game, I'll tell you that. That's what that one guy said that has the whistle down there. I think success, I hate to put a number on it, but it feels like a number should be attached to Auburn, and the number should be 8. Anything 8 and higher, because I think that shows a vast improvement over last season. But it needs to be some big wins, not just the ones that we've got you penciled in as a favorite. There have got to be at least one or two games that is close that you close out. So I'm not saying it's Georgia. I'm not saying it's A&M or Oklahoma or Bama, but it definitely needs to be a couple of those.
How about this? And this is a little off the wall here, but you could only lose one home game.
Yeah.
That's the goal, I think, for Auburn this year.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Because that means you're beating every team you're supposed to beat outside of, you know, Georgia, Bama. Those are the two I'm really looking at. You could throw Missouri in there if they're really, really good. But, hell, I bet you every Auburn fan in the world would say, hey, I'll trade a loss to Missouri.
Yeah.
If that means I get to beat Georgia and Alabama. So I think more realistically, you know, you only get one of the Georgia-Alabama, but you win the rest of the home games. And then I'm not saying you're going to sweep the away games, but I would think at very worst, you're going 2-3 in your away games. So that would be a hell of a season. So, you know, if you can win every home game but one, you're probably going to go like 9-3 this year probably 9-3 if I had to guess.
Mike, and it's this simple, even though I'm not allowed to use the name, but I have to because I just can't. So it's like you telling me not to do something. Now I just want to do it.
Right.
But I feel like when we get to the Iron Bowl, we shouldn't be sitting here asking ourselves, is Hugh Freeze the guy? You know?
Right.
Because I've asked, is Hugh Freeze the guy since he got hired down there? And it's a lot of it was game management. A lot of it was, you know, just roster control, whatever you will. There's just been infuriating moments that this coach has done that makes me wonder if he should even be in the SEC right now. And I don't want to have that conversation. We shouldn't have a short list for hot seats going into 2026 and have Freeze back on it. That's success. You have sputtered. You've actually went backwards the last couple of seasons. This is one that you have to take a massive step forward. And we can't question, is this the guy anymore?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I saw a lot of cousins say a success is firing that guy that we're not allowed to talk about. All right, we're going to do Mizzou now, Shane. What is success for the Missouri Tigers this season?
Oh, what is success for the Missouri Tigers? Can you pull that schedule back up? I like kind of that argument you made with Auburn winning your home games. I would like to see them win, not lose, but maybe one. Maybe you can lose one home game, but yeah, I mean, we want to make Mizzou. Mizzou doesn't make the top 10 list on the toughest places to play, but it will start showing up if you own the home wins. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And for me, Mike, We're kind of in that window. Is Mizzou really here to stay, or was it a two-year wonder? And I feel like if you can hover around that 9-10 mark again, and that's winning some home games, I feel like now you have to really take a long look at what Drink has done up there in Columbia and acknowledge that this is a program that is going to have a lot of success moving forward. So you do that. We talk about the schedule, but you got to win these home games, man. I can't lose more than one of them.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because I think all the away games are winnable. You know, I think they'll trip up somewhere, though, whether it be Auburn or at Oklahoma or, hell, even Vanderbilt. You know, that I would probably put it in that order with yeah. Arkansas last. I think they could afford to lose a home game and still have one hell of a year. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing the Cousins now. Look, 13-1 last two seasons. So that's the standard you're creating. But, you know, 2 years, for some reason, we don't acknowledge 2 years as a standard. Right. You know, it's like you got to get that third year to establish a new standard. So
I would say success for Mizzou is 10-2. I don't care how you get it.
Yeah.
Even if that's two home losses, which I think could happen.
That's extremely – I'm not doubting it, man. I mean, everybody says I'm a Mizzou homer, and I'm trying not to, but you're right. You know, we got to get to the playoffs. Can't be flirting with it. Let's get to it.
Yeah. Oh, man, we got some donations flying in here. Shout out Tennessee boy, Shane. Tennessee boy. Welcome
to the family.
So let's do Tennessee for old Tennessee boy, who that's probably Shane's burner account there. What is success for them Tennessee Vols this year?
Oh, what is success for them Tennessee Vols? It's, I hate to keep going back to the playoffs. You know, it doesn't feel right. It just feels like an easy answer. I would like to see all games close, you know. I don't want any blowouts, obviously. I'm looking at Georgia. Here it is, Mike. I'm looking at Georgia and Alabama. You've kind of got Alabama's number, you know. Don't lose it, you know. I'd like to get closer with Georgia. I'd like to make that game competitive. That would be a success. But – you know, when you got a football team that was in the playoffs last year, I think you have to set the bar right there, man. This needs to be another playoff team, and I think they have potential to do it based off this schedule alone.
How about this, Shane?
Yeah.
I got two things in mind, and I don't even care what the final record is. Beat Georgia or win in the swamp. If you do that, I think this is a successful season because you're breaking streaks. I mean, you could say at Tuscaloosa too, but again, I think Bama's going to win the SEC. So that's a damn tall drink of water. But again, we don't know how good Georgia is.
Right,
Georgia very likely will make the playoff, but will they be a playoff caliber team September 13th that early in the season? I don't know. How about beating Florida in the swamp? You know, then you start to turn that series a little bit to where that's not a house of horrors for you anymore.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that I got circled. If I'm a Tennessee fan, that would define success: beating Georgia, winning at Florida, one or the other. And I mean, bare minimum, I guess I'll cheat a little bit and say also 9 wins.
I like this. Vols haven't won a Tuscaloosa since 03. Have their number. Well, I mean, you know, you're right. Okay, I get it.
Well, that would be 3 out of 4 if Tennessee beat Alabama.
I mean, how many numbers I got to get, Mike? You know? So, no, I feel like Tennessee fans feel like we've arrived. We're not building anymore. We're reloading. And if we're not in that conversation late November about the playoffs, then clearly, we took a massive step back. So I think you got to have that conversation. And if we're having that, then that's a successful season, in my opinion.
Mm. Wait, so if they beat Georgia and go 8-4, you're not happy with that?
If they beat Georgia and go 8-4, I'm not happy with that. If you're beating Georgia, there's no reason you should have lost 4 games.
Well, I mean, I can think of many, many ways that happens.
Yeah. Why would you be happy with that? I want success. I don't want just one game. It'd be one thing if it were, you know, Florida Gators in the swamp or something. But Georgia, it's like we've already kind of crowned them as SEC favorites and, you know, playoff bound. But if you beat them and then lose 4 other games, I would be devastated because
all in overtime. Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking close games. Yeah, okay.
That'd be even worse, Mike. You know? Okay, I'm already on 2 blood pressure pills. I don't need any more.
I think you're right. That was a bad take by me. All right. Hey, shout out DJ Ray. Shane, $20. Cousins. Howdy. I know a lot of the talent. I know that we lost a lot of talent, but I think the success for Ole Miss will be defined by a playoff berth. What is success for them Ole Miss Rebels? And I love the fact that he went there, Shane. It's no longer the last dance.
Yep.
We got that off us. Expectations, I think, nationally are a little low. Of course, maybe not completely, because, heck, I believe they're 15th in the preseason. So I think that is, shows a hell of a lot of respect for Lane Kiffin and the program he has built in Oxford. How do you define success for Ole Miss this fall?
It's playoff or bust for me. Lane Kiffin, because I guess the next step was winning the big game. You did that with the Georgia Bulldogs last year.
Yeah.
Now it's putting together a season that gets Ole Miss to that level. Hell, it'd be really nice. I think uber success would be making an SEC championship, which I don't think they've ever done. You know, so that's a tall glass water, like well, Spurrier said.
Kiffin doesn't want to play in that.
Well, I'm saying, you know, I think right now, if you gave a true serum, he'd love to be in that game, just because then they've had a successful season. But Mike, for me, this is a playoff. This is a playoff. We're right there at it. That's the next chapter in Lane Kiffin's, you know, coaching, whatever.
Well, Cousin Benny says Washington State, really? That's not even Power Four. Well, you got to remember, maybe you were unaware of this, Benny, but they were scheduled to play Wake Forest.
Yeah.
And what happened was they went to Wake Forest last year, beat the shit out of them, mm-hmm. and then on the way back, Wake Forest said, hey, by the way, we're not returning the game. So Ole Miss had to scramble to find a game under 12 months. That's literally unheard of. So credit to Ole Miss for playing Washington State instead of, you know,
yeah, they went
Georgia State or something stupid, you know.
Wake is the ultimate. That's still pissed. They should pay them money because they went there. The fans went there. They spent money there. They kicked their ass there, and then now they had an opportunity to come back to Oxford, and they pulled that stunt. So yeah, Wake Forest is a joke.
How about this, Shane? For Ole Miss, I think a successful season.
Yeah.
Take care of the games you're supposed to win, because that's what was missing last year. Yeah. And that I could say that pretty simply. But if you look at it, I mean, what games should, you know, what, and basically maybe the way I should have framed this is win the games you're favored in.
Yes.
The only ones I'm going to see you potentially not favored in, obviously at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I think regardless of what happens, Ole Miss is going to be an underdog there. And that may be it. Now, maybe
LSU
perhaps. Yeah. Maybe South Carolina if they're red hot. But again, South Carolina is coming to Oxford. Florida's coming to Oxford. Maybe Oklahoma at Oklahoma. But, you know, again, look at Oklahoma, the gauntlet they got right before that. Texas, South Carolina. Who knows? They could be reeling as well. So just take care of the games you're favored in. You're probably going to win at worst 9 games, but probably 10.
I see why Netflix added you, Mike. You make too much sense. You're too smart. Because you're right. Because if you just win the games you're favorites in, you're going to the college football playoff. So, right. Yeah, genius.
All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah. So, and then, hey, shout out Gunner. He gave us a donation, Shane. So he's a big LSU guy. Let's do LSU next. What? And this was, I think, probably maybe the easiest on the board. What defines success for them LSU Tigers?
August 30th. Just winning the first freaking game of the year. I believe, I know it sounds, I'm kind of joking, but I'm not. I just feel like that is the ultimate launch pad for this team. Right. You know, if we're going to come out here, wear national championship shirts and, you know, do all this song and dance, that this is the last chance for Coach Kelly down there. You got to win the first one. And I will go a step further. Can you pull that schedule back up? For those that are, you know, listening to the audio version here, you got Clemson, Ole Miss, Bama, Vandy, and Oklahoma on the road. You can only, I think for me, Mike, if you just lose two of them, because I really think LSU should win all their home games. Ooh. But if they only drop two away games, yeah. I feel like that would be a successful year for Coach Kelly.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But for me, I understand everything you said about the Clemson game.
Yeah.
Let's say we're wrong about Clemson, which we're not wrong about Clemson. Well, let's say we're wrong. And let's say they are legit top five, whatever, God's gift of football, apparently, even though they lost four games and went 0-3 against the SEC last year. But let's say the people that love Clemson are right, and that's a top five-ish, hell, maybe even better than that team. If LSU loses that, I don't really even mark them too much for that because it's on the road. It's the first game, and I know they've had the road woes. You drop out one, kind of like you said, you could drop another one even. You got to make the playoff. I think it's playoff or bust.
Yeah.
For LSU. You make the playoff, and given that schedule, which I think is one of the most underrated schedules in the country, I don't know why – you know, this is not regarded as an elite schedule, but I think it's just as hard as anybody's. If you can navigate this sucker and make it to the playoff, just like Ohio State last year, you could lose a couple, but you could still be the team that wins the whole damn thing. If you're good enough to go 10-2 with this schedule, I think you got what it takes to win the national championship.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Crown them, man. And I will say, Coach Kelly did not look favorable in the docuseries there. There was a couple of coaches. I'm going to keep going back to it.
Okay.
Hugh Freeze. Yeah, because you're in it, Mike. So I'm going to plug you as many times as I can. I felt like the Hugh Freeze, I feel like the Brian Kelly, those just did not move the needle for me. But you guys got like Shane Beamer. You got to see behind the scenes with Coach Elko. Those are the ones that I felt like if a kid's watching it, that's a team I want to play for, you know? So just my thoughts.
Yep. Hey, shout out Gunner. He says Clemson, South Carolina, Florida are making the playoffs. Will be successful in my eyes, shutting those fans up.
Come on, Gunner. I love that name.
Tony says BK loves the F word.
Yeah. So did Coach Lee, man. Jeez. Coach Lee comes across as like a straight and narrow guy, but no, he was dropping them.
Okay.
Then he got his ass smoked by Tennessee. Oh, Pavia.
Well, hey, shout out Horton. Here's you, Shane. He gifted a membership, too. He's a big Texas fan. How about them Longhorns, Shane? What is a successful season for Texas?
Oh, man. Home field advantage? Winning an SEC championship. How about that? I feel like... Texas is here. Like they came over, made some noise immediately, but I think you can really plant the flag if you hoist the SEC championship trophy. Yeah. So that's success for me.
Not even national championship or bust, huh?
No, after no.
Two semifinals in a row.
What's harder, said Spurrier? You know, winning a natty or winning the SEC?
Winning the SEC. I gotcha. No, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If Texas,
could you imagine the shit talking that they will have over A&M that's been here for years and they're here year two and they win an SEC championship? You better believe the Longhorns would consider that success.
Right, but what if Texas wins the SEC?
Yeah.
And A&M wins the national championship?
Golly, Mike. What if I started running every morning? How much?
I think it's national championship or bust for Texas. I really do.
National championship. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're splitting hairs. If you're winning natties, you're potentially at least in the SEC championship or close to it. So,
right.
Yeah, I ultimately, it's a trophy because it doesn't matter if you've had really good seasons in Austin. Well, Matt, because they didn't get a trophy for last year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we talk about the recruiting classes. We talk about all the six being number one coaches poll. They're not hanging that damn banner down there, you know? So, yeah, actually winning some hardware is important for them Longhorns.
Okay, how about a shout out for Cousin Rick who gave us a donation, Shane. What would be a success for Texas A&M?
Anything but 8-4. You know, 9-3. How about that? I feel like, you know, A&M just needs to win a couple of big games. I'm not saying that they didn't last year, but we got so pumped up about the Notre Dame matchup, they lost it. We got pumped up about the Texas game, they lost it. So other than the LSU matchup, I feel like we've got to have some big wins. And, that's for me, and a 9-3 is that number I'm looking for.
Yeah, I think an opportunity to win 10.
Yeah,
which would be the bowl game. You know what I mean? Or, you know, who knows? Maybe even a playoff or something like that. But you're probably not making the playoff if you're not getting a 10 in the regular season. So yeah, I think you're right. 9-3, I think that's a success for A&M. With an opportunity, you don't have to get that 10th one, but I think that would be huge for Coach Elko.
Oh, Duty Price got me. Not so fast, Shane. Texas got a Peach Bowl trophy last season.
Damn it. Those peach bowls. Damn, I always forget about them.
I forgot about the peach bowl.
You know what we didn't forget about?
What's that?
Cousin JR. Let's do Georgia next for JR.
Hell yeah.
Would be a successful season for them dogs?
What would be a successful season for them dogs? Man, that's what do you give somebody? It's like going to a rich person's house for a birthday. It's like, what do you buy them? You know? They got charcuterie boards already, you know? They got champagne glasses. Georgia needs to get back to dominance, man. And I would say for success, for me, it's not so much winning games, it's destroying teams along the way. I would love nothing more than to see Georgia have a couple of shutouts, to have a couple of games that are decided by more than three scores, some blowouts. Be the physical Georgia Bulldogs that we're expecting you to do. So if you are a favorite, don't just beat them. Destroy them. That's what I want to see from Georgia, because when we talk about the success that Kirby Smart had early in his career there at Georgia, it was some of the most physical football I've ever seen in my life. Let's get back to that.
I think Michael Lynn nailed it, Shane. I think it's Natty or bust, same as Texas.
Break their will, as he says.
That's the standard now, I think.
Yeah.
As long as Kirby's down there and he's recruiting like a machine,
yeah.
I think it's title or bust.
Because we do this. We're right now, we talk about these other teams. LSU has a shot. If cards are played right, Tennessee can be there. South Carolina, we've seen this one. Texas, they're going to win. They're going to win. You know, it's like we don't have that team that's just surpassing everybody yet, but Georgia can get back there. They've got the talent. So, yeah, let's start destroying some football teams.
How about Kentucky for Cousin Thorin, who gave us a donation? Shane, what will be a successful season for the Wildcats?
Beating Toledo. No.
Thorin gave us a donation.
Too soon. Too soon. Success is bowling. You get to a bowl because you're not. I mean, nobody thinks you're going to get to one right now. Tough schedule. Got to win six games. I feel like you're going to have an upset. You're going to have them. So let's say Toledo. Let's just play this through. So Toledo. Eastern Michigan?
Eastern Michigan.
All right, September 13th. So there's two. Tennessee Tech, three. And so you got to win three additional games. So I'm looking at Vanderbilt. I'm looking at Louisville. And now I'm looking at an upset. Florida Gators, Auburn Tigers, Georgia, South Carolina, Ole Miss. You will be underdogs in all these. So I'd like to see a couple of upsets. Maybe let's say two. Two upsets this season, Mike, because I think two upsets can get you to seven, potentially six games.
Well, here's where you're wrong, Shane. Ole Miss, we own their ass. That ain't even an upset. And Nick Roush has already guaranteed it. It's going to happen again, and he predicted it last year. So I think you're right. I think it's making a bowl game.
Yeah.
But with that, a little caveat, you got to beat Louisville. You got to swing that thing back. You got to start. You ran the state for, you know, the better part of half a decade there. So we got to swing that back. They whooped us last year. Let's whoop them back. I think if you beat Louisville, you go 6-6. I think it's a good year for Kentucky.
Yeah, man, the Cousins are not going easy on the Wildcats.
All right, how about one we haven't done, Shane? How about Florida Gators? We're very different here on our opinions of the Florida Gators. What do you define as success for them Gators?
Success for the Gators. I believe the success for the Gators is to win six out of your first eight games.
Ooh.
Yeah. You do that. I feel like that because they've got the toughest schedule, one of the toughest schedules in the country. We all know that. We've said it a million times. But most of that, the meat of that, is at the front half of this season. And that's why that we had the Billy buyouts and all that stuff, because it had such a rough start last year. Win six out of the first eight, I think there's a real shot for success late in the season. Catch fire again. Hell, you may win all the remaining four games.
Yeah, so I mean, if they do that, they could. I was thinking more realistic 9-3
mm-hmm.
with a loss potentially at Ole Miss. We'll see how good they are. Or I mean, I don't know. They own Tennessee. Maybe again, Florida State's not that good. So hell, you're right. If they win 6 of the first 8, they're probably going. I shouldn't say probably, but yeah, I mean 10-2, 9-3 at worst.
Yeah.
Buddy, even at 9-3, I think they're in the playoff with that schedule.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this look, I would say we've used this picture more on this show than any. I wake up thinking, oh, God, schedule's in front of me again.
You're having nightmares of the Florida Gator schedule?
Like, I don't know, 9 times. Like, somebody asked me the other day, something about Tennessee's schedule. I was like, oh, I can't remember what week we play them, but I could rattle off Florida Gators right now.
I'm right there with you. I think 9 wins.
Yeah.
Even if you don't make the playoff, I think 9 is a great remember, Billy Napier's never won more than 7 in the regular season in Gainesville. So 9 is a nice step up. It's weird saying that though with the Florida Gators though. Even 9 is like 9. They've run off coaches for only winning 9 games. I know.
But
different era.
Would you run off Billy Napier for 8?
No, I think you'd bring him back.
Would you consider 8 a success?
Maybe. Well, it depends on how they, you know, no blowouts, close losses. They're going to be close. Billy Napier loves close games.
Yeah.
I don't know if he matters to him if he wins or loses. As long as they're close, I think he likes them.
Does your answer change going back to pull up that Florida one here again?
The nightmare.
So, yeah. So does it change, though, if those 4 losses come late in the year? So let's say we do have early success. We beat LSU. We beat Miami. Potentially knock off a Texas or Georgia. But you lose to Ole Miss. You lose to Tennessee. You lose to Florida State. Something like that. Like you
fires
lose.
Ass.
Yeah.
If we're losing to Georgia, Tennessee, Florida State.
8-4.
Kentucky.
With losses to Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Florida State, you're firing him.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Just curious. Just seeing how deep your loyalty is for old Billy Napier.
Hey, how about Carolina? We haven't done them, have we? So for the Coxman who gave us a donation there, what is success for the Gamecocks this year?
Shit, Mike. I mean, these guys are the standards move. The goalposts have moved. South Carolina is talking playoffs.
It almost feels like playoffs or bust, doesn't it?
It really does, man. So I feel like you have to not take a step back. Success would be maintaining at least a 9-win season. So I'm putting a number on this one. Give me 9.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, but I will add another caveat.
Yeah.
You got to beat Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, you got to beat them at home. You beat them last year on the road. You got to beat them. If you go 10-2, you lose to Clemson. that may not be a success. You know what I mean? So get to 9, beat Clemson, and hell, they'll put you in the playoff like they should have done last year.
Oh, man, look at them.
That's my 9 story, and I'm wins. Sticking to
Michael
it.
Michael says, I'll take 9 without a Clemson win.
Ooh.
It's not too late to delete that one, Michael. Not too late.
All right, we got 3 more. How about Arkansas, Shane? What would be a success for the Razorbacks?
Yeah, great question, Mike. This one for me, it helps to have some upsets. I felt like that big one against Tennessee, even though I got to watch it on. Have you seen that Netflix show that you're in, Mike? This is the one that really broke my heart. I forgot about Nico going out of bounds for a split second. And I was, and I saw it. I was like, holy shit. I tweeted out. I was more upset about Nico going out of bounds than I was him going to California.
I saw that, but now that I get the full reference, it's even funnier, you know?
Yes, yeah. So success for me, Mike, I don't want to say it's a number, but I would love, like a January bowl game, not just a the 6 and 6 music motor, whatever they call it. I would like a legit bowl game and some big upsets. Tennessee one was nice last year, but I'd like to pair that with another Notre Dame, A&M, or LSU, one of these teams, and show progress, move forward. So if you're putting a number on it, I would say 8 wins maybe.
Yeah, that's right where I was going to say 8-4. Again, that's not the standard, but given this schedule, given where things are at right now, I think 8-4 would be viewed largely as a success.
Uh-huh.
Now, how about your favorite F-dropping coach here, Clark Leadow, Vanderbilt? What would be a success for the Commodores and Diego Pavia?
You know, just Diego staying out of jail, I guess. If I got to see one more hot yoga video, I'm over. No, success is going back to another bowl game. You know, there's been years, shit, maybe decades, where Vanderbilt wasn't sniffing bowl games. And, you know, changing the standard, changing the culture there in Nashville, the belief system, the fans starting to get into it. For me, six, maybe even 7 wins. But again, do what you did last year. Stay close. Stay in every single football game and make it fun, because when it's fun, people will watch. And that's, for me, the most important thing for Vanderbilt is to make it enticing to grow. So that they have an opportunity to do that this season. So, and to do that, 6-7 wins is kind of where I'm at.
I like some of these cousins. Shane Old May says, Diego getting another season of eligibility. Jeez Louise says, finishing the construction.
That's a good one. But they even showed the construction workers in the Vanderbilt videos.
Damn, you really did just get done watching that. All right.
Yeah.
I think for Vanderbilt, though, I think you're wrong. I know they're fun to laugh at, mock, and all this. I think we're trying to raise the bar, brother. So give me 8-4 for Vanderbilt. I think that's how you define a success on the West End.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bold one. I'm glad we did it at the end of the show.
And then last, Mississippi State, what's a win for these Bulldogs?
SEC win. Get an SEC win.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I feel bad, you know, for the situation that State's in, but I can't feel too bad because you got money too. We got to get right. This is a program that should be changing quicker than any SEC team in the country or in this conference. So yeah, give me success would be bowl and a couple of SEC wins.
Nero Ultra says 8 wins for Vandy's like a natty. I mean that's sad. One conference win.
Yeah.
Give me a bowl game. I think a bowl game is success for Mississippi State. So that would probably require multiple. I don't think one is a success. This is a much more proud program. I know it didn't look like it last year, but
yeah,
they got to reach the postseason, I think.
Yeah. No, look at these guys. Everybody feels bad for Mississippi State. I feel bad because they were so close. They've had success. They know what it's like. And you talk about just a lot of appreciation. That I appreciate the fan base in Mississippi State probably more than any fan base in this conference, because they don't have the championships. They don't, but they still show up every single Saturday, and they just deserve nice things, Mike.
Yeah, and I mean, hell, if they would have had this expanded playoff during the Dan Mullen era, they probably would have made it a time or two. You know what? This was not that long ago that they were very, very competitive. And hell, Mike, you know, there's so many tragic things about Mike Leach, but what should have been his next team, that probably was going to be his best team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Him throwing them damn chairs, he was pumped up, man. He was going to get that wide receiver room right for sure.
Yeah. Oh man, we're ended on such a Debbie Downer. But anything else, brother, before we hop off the line?
No, I appreciate all the cousins showing up this morning bright and early. It's been a long day for us working folk here on the show. But, Mike, I'm ready for football. We're 3 weeks away. And, again, say a little prayer tonight that your team stays healthy and that we can get to the end of August with a full roster here. But I'm pumped up, brother. I am absolutely pumped up. I want to give a shout-out to all the legends today, courtesy of JP. We got Steven Up, Glenn Warshaw, Gunner Ward, Horton Hears You, Liquid Flames, Cousin JR, Thornton Brandt, Cousin Rick, Colin the Coxman, P5, Emily, and DJ Ray. I and Mike appreciate you guys. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for hitting the like button, the subscribe button. We got all kinds of shit coming your way. It's like gonna be like a water hose, you know? You just got it. Just be ready. Mike's got some interviews coming out. I'll be there Friday morning for another SEC hangover. And if you see something online, you're like, Shane, talk about this, be sure to tag me, let me know, and we will discuss it that morning.
Absolutely. And we'll be back tomorrow with a mailbag show. Those are always fun, aren't they?
Absolutely. I love mailbag.
All right.
Especially when they're food related.
So hit us up. We're going to be dropping that on Twitter and YouTube and hit us on the Discord as well. So check us out tomorrow. We'll be back. We appreciate each and every one of you. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.